And that's what our message is today, is celebrating Jesus' entry as the King into Jerusalem. So if you will follow along with me as I read, beginning with Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 through 11. Verse 1 says, when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill. I always like to read something like that. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, Zion being Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of the beast of burden. That's what a donkey in the Old Testament is considered, the beast of the burden. And then verse 6, the disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on their coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches, palm branches, from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of Jesus and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna to the King, Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When he had entered Jerusalem and all the city were stirred, saying, who is this? And the crowd was saying, this is a prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. I love to read that scripture. That is wonderful, wonderful. And when we're thinking of celebrating Jesus' entry as a king in Jerusalem, this special day being Palm Sunday, leading all the way through the week, this is what has taken place. And when we read through the account of what happened on Palm Sunday, what we see is a celebration and a time of worship as we gather here to worship. It was a time for them to worship because they were preparing for this for a long, long time. And as the scripture said, this was a fulfillment to what was to take place and was prophesied by the prophets. And they were to worship concerning the arrival of the one true king in Jerusalem. So this morning, we're going to learn some things about how to worship concerning what we should be thankful for and what we should celebrate when we find ourselves in the presence of the one true King, Jesus Christ. Now, I've entitled this message, Palm Sunday, the celebrating Jesus, the entry as a king. And this message is on the triumph entry of Jesus, of the true King, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this morning, let's look at the Messiah prophesied. If you go back in the Old Testament, Isaiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah, Micah, Daniel, and all of these prophesied the coming Messiah. And Zechariah lines up with Matthew even. If you read in Matthew, Matthew goes back and pulls from what Zechariah and many of the others, Isaiah as well, So as the scene has been set right here in the first seven verses, we see the spiritual significance of the prophetic and symbolic actions that takes place as Jesus enters Jerusalem. First, let us begin by looking at the significance of the location of which is Mount Olives. And let me say this, and I pondered on this all week when I was in Columbus, and as I was studying, and as we was being with Stella and so forth, thinking about this week and everything, I was thinking, as I read the scriptures, and I read a lot of scriptures this week preparing for this, but no name in scripture calls up sentiments or connections to the scriptures so sacred and pleasing as the Mount of Olives. You know why? Because that's where Jesus spent much of his time praying. And this was the devotional life of Jesus himself as he went up to the Mount of Olives, some 2 miles away from Jerusalem, up along here. That's 2,600 feet elevation. Jesus went up there on a regular basis to spend time along with the Lord privately. This was his devotional life with the Father. And that we read of it and that we look at it with feelings and deepest interest and affection ourselves. When you read into this and you see the time that Jesus spent at Mount Olives, it is so sacred, and it should be our devotional time as well as Jesus, as he spent time along with the Lord. So here Jesus often sat with his disciples, telling them. He had a lot to share with the disciples. And they needed to know this. And this is why Jesus came to the earth. And to telling them of the wondrous events yet to come. And yet they just didn't catch on to it. Grip it. Of the destruction of the holy city that was coming. Of the sufferings and the persecution, the final triumph of him and the followers. This was a lot of things and a lot of information for the disciples to take in. And it's a lot for us to take in as well. And that's why I say reflect on this week. Read the four Gospels and get you a better understanding what took place during the Holy Week. Now, the Mount of Olives will also be a place of Jesus' return one of these days. He ascended there. He will descend again here in Jerusalem. According to Zechariah, and I mentioned a while ago, chapter 14, verses 4 and 5, the return will begin with the personal appearance of the Messiah when his feet stand on the Mount of Olives, the very place from which he also ascended. Now, not on the second coming, but when he is final to set up his kingdom here on earth, that's where it will be set, there in Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives is a place of communion with God, of prayer and of worship, and the revelation and manifestation of the glory of God, of God's glory. All of that. And that's why we need to ponder and reflect upon this. And see, and what better place for Jesus to reveal himself as long-awaited Messiah. Here the people was waiting for the long-awaited Messiah to be exalted, to be worshipped, to be praised, to be glorified, and by Christians today. And the Mount of Olives reminds us of our need to worship and God's expectation, and we worship the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves. Now, let's look at the significance of the donkey. And you know, the donkey, you know, has a significant part in the Old Testament. You know, the donkey even talked in the Old Testament, right? Balaam the donkey, he spoke. I mean, when people didn't get it, the donkey spoke and give them interpretation, right? So it has its significance here. So there were actually two animals, as the scripture told, involved in the triumph entry, the mother and the colt. And Jesus sat on the colt with the mother walking alongside, according to the scripture right here. And many, you know, many might think that there's nothing but a humble beast of burden, which the scripture did mention. But in that day, that's why I said it's significant, it was looked on as an animal fit for a king. And here we see, for an example, in 1 Kings, chapter 1, 32-34, it was said that David commanded his sons to ride in on a donkey down to Gihon to be anointed as king of Israel. David encouraged his son Solomon to do this. So it was significant that noble or royal people or kings ride a donkey to show royalty. It showed something very important. So when Jesus rode into Jerusalem riding on the colt of the donkey, it signified the arrival of royalty. The king of the Jews, the king, the true mighty king, the Messiah. And the donkey reminds us that when we bow before the Lord to worship, that we are in the presence of royalty and a holy king. This is what that symbolizes. Now, I don't know if you've read much about Cora Ten Boom. She was a missionary. She was a spokesperson. She did a lot of writing. She even was a watchmaker. That's what she was raised to do by her father, to make watches and so forth. She was also in prison, incarcerated, because of her faith in God and her witness and so forth. So Corrie Ten Boom was once asked if it was still difficult for her to remain humble in all of the things that she had been through in her life, incarcerated, in prison, and restricted from sharing the gospel and caring for people less fortunate than her. And she did. She cared for them. And her pride was simple. She said, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on the back of that donkey and everyone was waving palms and throwing garments on the ground and singing praises, she said, do you think that for that one moment ever entered the mind of that donkey that all of that was for him? No, not at all. Then she continued, if I can be the donkey on which Jesus rides in his glory, I give him all the praises and I'll all the honor. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, when we worship in the presence of the King of Glory, may we have the humble and submission attitude of that donkey, right? So when we worship, we are not only worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but also the Messiah and the deliverer of the sin of the world. And so we must acknowledge him as Savior and praise him as Almighty King, Lord, and Savior. And when we worship our Messiah and Savior, let us reflect on the price that he paid for our spiritual freedom. He gave us spiritual freedom. And let us remember, he paid the ultimate sacrifice. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Now let us move on to Messiah's proclaimed. Here we see in verses 8 to 11, and we want to look at those right now. Fine. And as we reread in verse 1, Jesus came to Bethpage, which is at the Mount of Olives. And this location was about, as I mentioned a while ago, about 2 miles from Jerusalem. The elevation at this point is about 2,600 feet. From it, having a breathtaking view of the holy city. That's the holy city right there, from Mount Olives that you see. Isn't that breathtaking? So if Jesus would go up there, he could see the holy city. And you know, he would pray over the holy city to the Heavenly Father because of his compassion and his concern, knowing that he was going to the cross and dying for the sins of all of those there in Jerusalem and all the world. And that's why he gave the command at the Great Commission as he ascended into heaven. You go back to Jerusalem and you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And you'll be my witnesses first at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then here at the Seventh Baptist Church. Right? Right here. Yes. And as they turned down to the city, the grand view stirred the crowd to incredible enthusiasm when they saw Jesus riding in on a donkey. This was the first sight of the holy city. This was the first sight. On this route, as they continued with their descent, we need to note that Jesus was at the highest point, 2,600 feet. And this is where they began to praise him as he came down off of the Mount Olives, which speaks to us about exalting the Lord in worship, elevating his name to the highest of all. Now, this is what the multitudes did at Mount Olives. This is what they did at the foot of Mount Olives. They worshiped him. So let us look at their worship. Of course, we see that they were laying out their clothes on the roads, let Jesus walk on those. And this was noteworthy. Many of this showed him wealth. This showed it that Jesus was important to them. And they wanted to do this. They wanted to show their praise. And this was is where they spread their clothes on the road in verse 8. And the laying down of their clothing represents submitting something of worth. So right here, when the multitude spread their clothes on the road, they were proclaiming Jesus as King. And that's what we do today. We proclaim Jesus as the ultimate King of life. The next thing that they did, they cut branches from the trees and they spread them on the road in verse 8 as well. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 13, it says that they took branches from the palm trees and they went out to meet him. They couldn't wait. They just didn't wait. They wanted to go out and meet Jesus. And they waved them as well. This is the reason why we remember the triumph entry each year at this time, and what we call Palm Sunday, because they celebrate the arrival of the King of Kings with palms. And palms means Hosanna. That's what palms means. Hosanna. And that's why they were shouting, Hosanna to the King of Kings. So as they worshiped Jesus, they cried out saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Palms. 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 That's why they was waving at. That was signifying Hosanna. This is our King. This is our awaited King. This is who we've been looking for. And many others, as the scripture says, who is this? But the ones that were waving the palms and spreading their clothes on the ground for Jesus to walk upon, they knew, and that way they were able to share. And there's people today in this world, there's people in our community, there's people in the huge cities around have no idea what Easter is about, the significance of Jesus' death on Calvary. They have no idea. Hosanna, as I said, also means save now. And they were shouting along as they're saying Hosanna, save us. Help us. Save us from this wicked world. So when the people cried Hosanna, they meant acknowledgement and they proclaimed Jesus as Messiah. And again, Hosanna is the term used for the branches themselves. And as they were crying aloud, Hosanna, they were at the same time waving their Hosannas. Just like we did this morning, just like it. Didn't they do a great job? It was, like I said, good to see these children. Help them to know the significance of this special day, Palm Sunday. You know, I guess we could be like cheerleaders waving our pom-poms, you know, every time. That would be a good reminder when you see cheerleaders out on the gym floor or on the sideline waving their pom-poms. Think about, okay, Hosanna, Hosanna to our King. Waving our palms, celebrating the arrival of the Messiah. As we close this morning, Jesus entered Jerusalem as King, but he would soon humble himself as a servant. That's why Jesus said, I didn't come into this world to be served, but to serve. And what he was meaning, that I came into this world to be the Savior of the world, to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. I am your servant. The Father has sent me to lay down his life. According to Revelation 19:16, calls him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is the Lord and God. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, and it says that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the glory of the Father. And one of these days, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. He is King. And the example, let me add this morning, the example of our Lord Christ is set before us. He set the example of how we should follow in his footsteps. We must resemble him in our life as he laid down his life for us. If we would have the benefit of his death, we would follow his example. Notice the two natures of Christ. His divine nature and his human nature. He was all King, all glory, all powerful, all knowing, and yet that's why he came in the flesh to dwell among us, to set the example, saying that he too went through all of the suffering and hardships that we do, yet he chose to to remain obedient to the Father. Now, for our task, you know, that is difficult, isn't it? It is difficult. But we can do it because Christ did it, because he chose to do it. We choose to do what we do in this life. If we choose to follow Jesus' example, then Paul says we can be like Christ. Be like Christ in our following him, and then those who follow us will be faithful as well. That's what this nation needs. That's what this world needs. As Christians step up and walk in the newness of life, the transformed life that Jesus gave us when he died on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. Thank you for this message that you have inspired through your scriptures to be spoken this day. May we take each word seriously and confidently and put it in action in our own lives. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.